This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Just try to organize myself a little here. Get everything started up. There we are. Thank you very much for inviting me to come here today. It's a blessing for me to be able to share the word today. It's always a blessing to be able to go into the word and to see what he has for us. I have just been a week up in the mountains with 40 young people, and we've been skiing in the daytime and having meetings and praying in the evenings every day. And it's wonderful to see how God touch everybody, how he's always looking for an opportunity to meet us, to serve us, and to get to know us better. A lot of times we talk about service and ministry, and we have to realize that God is not first looking for ministry, but he's looking for a personal relationship with us so he can have that contact with us every day. And then the ministry comes as we want to serve him and as we want to just share what we have experienced. And that's wonderful. It's the passage here, the verse we have, unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stands guard in vain. It's a great verse that shows how important the Lord is in our lives and should be. The importance isn't how much we do or whatever we work and how much effort we put in to do our ministry, to do our work, to live our lives. But the important thing is how much can we get out of our relationship with him? How tight can we get to him? How near can we get? And that's, for me, the Bible. That's where the key is. Where I can learn about him, where I can get closer to him. And I'm going to have some other passages today where I'm going to read from that I think illustrates this verses very much. I have been looking a lot. I love to read in the Old Testament. And in Exodus, there is a great story about the people of Israel, the Jews that have been slaves for years and years and years, that have struggled, that have been suppressed, that is forced into labors, and that claims to God. That the people that cry out to God to get liberated, to get free. And God hears them. And we can see, as we read through it, as we start in Exodus, we can see how God reveals himself through Moses, how he picks out certain people to lead his congregation. And in the beginning, we can see how the people or the congregation, how they don't want to follow. But they have to accept. And then we can see the world with Pharaoh in the leadership, don't want to accept God, don't want to acknowledge the word of God. And he refuse and reject everything, and God starts to sending signs. There is plagues coming, and I love these stories on how mighty God is, because he's mighty today as well. God was not mighty 4,000 years ago, and today he's a weak old man. No, God, he is alive. He is the creator of heaven and earth today, and he is as strong today as he was when Moses lived. And I think it's interesting to look at the people, at the Jews, when they start move out. And that's where we're going to begin. When the people of Israel start to move out of Egypt towards their promised land, towards Israel, they start to move towards the promises God have given them. And we are all on that way. God have given us promises. God have given us dreams and visions. We heard in a small video in the beginning here about whispers, listening to the whispers of God and how God talks to us and lead us and guide us and how we can achieve things that will affect our life and our society and sometimes even thousands of people if we follow him. But we have to acknowledge something. We have to realize that God, He is the one that knows where to go. In Exodus chapter 13, verse 17 and 18, it says that when Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them on the road through the Philistine country. That was shorter. For God said, if they face war, they might change their mind and return to Egypt. So God led the people around by the desert road towards the Red Sea, and Israel went up out of Egypt armed for battle. They were armed for battle because they got a lot of gifts, they got arms, they got everything, but they didn't have experience. And a lot of times, that is how it is in life, and I feel in my life. I need experience to do what I want to, what my dreams are. And sometimes, God has to direct me on a detour for me to gain experience, because the shortest trip, the shortest route, is not always the best route. I have a tendency to always think the shortest way from A to B, because I'm in my effective mode. I want to be fast. I want to, you know, just get there, get it done. But God's road is a lot of time a little different from what we think. God, sometimes He changed things because He see we're not ready, and it's not about our ministry. For Him, it's about us personally. So God sometimes need to redirect us and take an extra round, so He can show us how much He loves us, so He can prepare our character. And I can imagine the million of people, slaves basically, with no fighting experience, just trying to organize themselves as a people, as a nation, that still hadn't got all the rules and regulations that we have that gives us safety and security, and the way that we know how to react with each other. They hadn't got all these things established yet. So they were kind of moving out of Egypt as a big group, just blum, blum, coming away. There was no order. What would happen if they faced a professional army? They will be slaughtered because of lack of experience, lack of faith, lack of everything they needed. So God directed them in a different route. And that's a key thing. The shortest route is not always the best route. But God's way is always the best way. So I tried to, for my own sake, to pray to God and ask God to lead me. His way, not my way. I see that in mission, like it was told, I'm working in a small mission organization called Dare to Be, and that's kind of what we try to do. We try to challenge ourselves to dare to be honest, to dare to be real, and we try to challenge churches to dare, so they dare to be involved in what God has called them to do. There is an old hymn, in Norwegian at least, it might be in English as well, I don't know, but it says, dare to be the one that you were created in Christ to be. And that is a challenge sometimes, to dare to trust in God. What we do is we try to encourage churches to, instead of just supporting mission, instead of just sending money to an organization, receiving a newsletter, to get involved themselves. There is so many talents in our churches, and a lot of time we restrict ourselves and say, no, we're not good enough. I cannot. We are not able to. So we have to trust other people to do the work of God. And so what we want to do, we want to challenge people and challenge churches to step up and take responsibility. I was just in Bangkok in Thailand a couple of weeks ago at the larger mission conference. And they said that some few hundred years ago, we needed 16. There was, for every 16 unreached people group, there was one church. So if that time, if they should reach all unreached people group, every church needed to take 16 unreached people groups. Today, it's a little different. Today, they talk about 600 churches per unreached people group, which should make it a lot easier. But at the same time, it doesn't go that fast. And a lot of time, I think the reason is that We don't trust in ourselves, and we don't trust in God leading and directing us. So that's what we do. We want to challenge people to step up, challenge churches to step up and use the talents that God has given us. Because he wants to lead us, not in the fastest way all the time, but in the right way and the right direction. In Exodus 14, verse 10 to 12, it says that as Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, and they were there were the Egyptians marching after them. And they were terrified and cried out to the Lord. And they said to Moses, "Was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt?" They had approached the Red Sea, and they were standing there, mountains on left and right side, the sea in front, and they were all happy. They reached out. They did what they were supposed to. They started to walk with God. And then suddenly, they saw the Egyptians coming after them, and they went scared. And that's what happened. Challenge. They were in a new situation. This was something they hadn't experienced before. God, what are we going to do? We don't know how to fight the Egyptians. They have been our rulers. They have been fighting us. They have been controlling us for hundreds of years. Now everything has changed. They want to kill us. What are we going to do? And people that get scared say stupid things a lot of times. When they left Egypt, there was none of the Jews, we can't find that in the scripture at least, that asked Moses if they could get permission to just stay in Egypt. Everybody wanted to leave. Nobody wanted to stand back. And you know, when we're in fire, when we're inspired, it's easy to say yes. It's easy to take the decision. Yeah, we're going to do this. Yeah, come on, let's go. Let's change the world. But when we get out sometimes, when we stand there in front of the challenges, the fear comes and raises up because there is changes. We don't feel the security anymore because there is a new situation. And what do? We start to making up excuses. We start to blame God. We start to blame maybe the church. We start to fight on other people. You know, why did you say that? Why couldn't we? And we invent excuses to try to get out of the situation. For the Jews, though, there was no exit. There was the ocean in front of them, mountains on each side, and the Egyptians were coming from the back. And that's what happened. When we want to walk with God, when we make a decision that I'm going to walk the walk, I'm going to get closer to God, or I'm going to take my first step with God, it doesn't actually matter. We're going to see the past is coming after us, and it wants to attack us. In Exodus 14, verse 9, it says that, let me see here. Yeah, there it is. The Egyptians, all Pharaoh's horses and chariots, horsemen and troops, pursued the Israelites and overtook them as they camped by the near sea in, something I can't even say. Very difficult place. But that's what happened. When I walk with God, when I make a decision, I'm going to push forward. This is what I feel the Lord leads me to do. The past is coming after me with fear, with everything it has. People would say, "Helge, you can't do this because this is something you haven't done before. You don't have any experience in this. Where did you get the knowledge to do this from? You don't know. You don't have the support. You don't." And it just continue to create more fear. I wonder how it was for the Jews when they were standing there on the banks of the Red Sea. And they saw the mighty power coming behind them with everything they knew. The thing is, most of us are very aware of our own limitations. We know our history. We know that we are not able to. But this is not about us. And this was not about the Jews. This was all about God. And for him be able to show his love to them and to us. 2 years ago, we started this organization in Sandnes. And we started to pray to God and said, "God, where do you want us to go? What are we going to do?" And we got a clear vision. We got this whispering, and we were four of us, and we all felt it very clearly. So we made, okay, this is what we're going to do, and we're going to start walking towards Asia, because in Asia is all the large unreached people groups. It's all the areas where nobody knows the gospel. So we decided that's where we have to go. My experience was in Africa. That's where, in South America, that's where I've been working before. But then I decided, well, you know what? I felt we just have to change, because we have to guide ourselves where the need is greater. And so we did. And then we walked around and asked, invited people to join us. And we talked to one that worked in a larger mission organization. We were together with a church leadership, to inviting them to get with us and get involved in Asia. And this person working in the mission agency asked us, you know, what kind of contacts do you have in Asia? And I said, we don't have any. I've booked a 2-week trip to Bangkok, and we're going to see what will open up. And they go like, oh, no. You're going to fail, because in Asia it takes years to develop good relationships. And I was scared, because I've never been in Asia before. What would God do? And all my experience started to come up behind me. Helge, this is something you won't be able to do. You know, this is going to fail. And 3 weeks before my ticket to Asia, to Bangkok, I still had no contacts. I tried to write some emails and contact the different people, and everybody had excuses. No, we're not there then. We can't receive you. And I was very, very nervous. One day I was talking to a friend on Skype, and he's in Belgium, and he said, Helge, I know some people, and if you send them an email, maybe things will open up. So I sent an email direction he gave me. A week after, I was in the U.S. talking to a man that has about 500 missionaries in Asia. And he said, where do you want to go? And I told him I was going to Thailand. I wanted to see Myanmar, Vietnam, some countries around there, and he made up a trip, and so I went. And every airport they came, there was some guy standing with my name on a sign, taking me to national leaders, letting me ask questions, showing me around, showing me opportunities. And so the Lord guided us, and he showed that it doesn't matter. Sometimes we just have to step out in faith. We can't let the past direct our future. We can't let the past direct which way we are going. The devil is using the past to scare us and stop us from going the way God wants us to do. You know, imagine when they were standing, the Jews were standing in front of the Red Sea, and the first people that went out after God told them that they should do that, he opened the water. And there was these walls of water standing up. And I'm just trying to imagine the first people stepping out, taking the first step. And when it's, you know, very shallow, it shouldn't be any problem. But as they went further and further down that route through the ocean, and they could see the walls of water stretching up, I wonder how they were thinking. It's a decision of faith. Because they could stand back, trust in the past. Instead, they made a choice to move on and push forward. Sometimes I have this stupid way of thinking, and I wonder if somebody went over to the wall and tried to punch it. You know, why not? Was it soft? Was it hard? This is the question I would have, at least. What is this? But somebody took the first step, and they went into the ocean, or they went on dry land with ocean on one side. The step of God. The Israelites, the Jews, they went through the ocean and came up on the other side. And there they got to see a miracle that we can see sometimes if we let it happen. They got to see God, the move of God. Chapter 14 of Exodus, verse 25, it says like this. Let me see here. He made the wheels of the chariots come off so that they had difficulty driving. And the Egyptians said, let's get away from the Israelites. The Lord is fighting for them against Egypt. You know, the whole army of Pharaoh was coming after them through the Red Sea. And Israel were afraid. They were escaping this army. God had put his, he had been going in between so they couldn't reach them. And now the Egyptian army was in the ocean there. Or they were in dry land with ocean on both walls coming up on both sides. And suddenly, wheels started to drop off their carriers. Things started to happen. And I can imagine the first one seeing one of his fellow friends losing his wheel there. And he just started laughing. Ha ha, you know, you loser, you're going to get behind. And then suddenly more and more problems starting to occur. And they start to realize we are in a very different, dangerous place right now. This is not a normal place to be because we are in the middle of a miracle. And they had seen the plagues of God. They had seen how God had moved upon Egypt just days before. So they turn around and they try to escape. But that's what happened to the past. When you stand with God, when you walk the walk and decide to follow Jesus, the past will have to move. The past won't reach you. The past will have to go away. The Jews, They knew so very well that if the Egyptian reached them, they could destroy them. If they let the fear overcome and take power in their hearts, they would be destroyed as a people. But instead of turning around and starting a fight themselves, they trusted in God and got to see how God led them through the ocean and how God destroyed their past, the Egyptian army. We have a choice to make. Every one of us. We have a choice to make if we want to let the Lord be our guard. If we want to let the Lord build a house. Or if we're going to build it ourselves. A lot of times, especially in this world where we're living, we depend so much on our own efforts, on our own strength, how good we are, on our education, on our money, on our ability. While God is asking for our heart so he can do the work. It says that when we open our heart and let God into us, he starts to come in and eat with us, have an intimate relationship with us. And he starts to build his house within us, that we are building stones, that he will continue his work, building our lives, building our character, building our strength, so we can fit better into society, so we can serve him in a better way, so we in the end also can do what he have told us to do. But we have to realize that the easiest road, the fastest road, is not always the best road. Sometimes we need a detour for us, but for him it's not a detour. For him it's the right way to learn us what we need for the challenges that are ahead. We could see after the Israelites, after the Jews have passed on in the desert for years, they had become a nation. They had structure. They were strong. They had fighting experience. And then when they finally came into their country, their promised land, in a matter of some few years, they had a country to form their own. They had the promised land of theirs. And they were able to manage it. Because they had been taking a different route that was the right way. It wasn't the fast way. They had been challenged by fear. The fear of changes. And there is always going to be changes in our lives. Children go in to be teenagers. There is some changes. And it makes a lot of uncertainty. It's a different transition. People go from teenage into adulthood. There is a lot of new responsibility changes that make the life difficult. Suddenly you're not in school anymore having fun and studying, being free, but you're in a workplace where you have responsibility, where there is demands, there is changes. Changes make fear. We get older, we get scared because the changes that happen in our bodies. We're not that strong anymore. We don't have the energy anymore. What's happening? It's changes that can create fear. Oh, I can't do it anymore. I'm not that young. And I have to admit, I'm not that old. But still, when I'm in a teenage camp up in a mountain, I feel like a tyrant in the evenings. I can't push a week anymore, you know, day and night. Changes creates fear. Fear that we have to face and let go. And we have to direct it in the right way at the same time. We have to address what's going to be addressed. And that's God. God, here I am. Show me, lead me, guide me. And then let the fear go. When we know the past is coming after us, telling us everything we can't do or everything we have done, all the reasons that can destroy for us, we just have to let it go. The past is the past. We can't change that. The only thing we can change is the future. And I want to change the future. I want to see people get changed. I want to see my own life get changed. I want to see my relationship to Jesus grow. I want to see that He builds the house in my life. I want to see He use my life to build a house and to build cities in unreached areas. A week and a half ago, I came home from Yangon, Myanmar. When I went down there last February, I was taken to a slum area between 150 and 200,000 people. 50% of the kids doesn't get to go to school. And it was sad to see how small children died because of lack of medicine, easy things. Pill that would cost 10 kroner could have saved their life, but if you don't have it, you don't have it. And there was, at least what we could figure out, no Christians working there among 150, 200,000 poor people. How can that be? How difficult can it be? So we started to do some research, and now we're building a center there. We're going to reach out to at least between 500 and 600 kids. They're going to get some education. They're going to get some health care. They're going to get some food and school. But more important than all of these things, they're going to get to know about Jesus. Jesus can change their future. Jesus can change the nation's future. Jesus is going to give them an eternity where they want to be. And it's up to us to make a decision. Are we going to go with God? Are we going to do the walk, walk the walk? Are we going to take the challenges, or are we just going to let it be and say, Lord, I've never done that before. It's changes. I'm not ready for changes. It's so scary. It's not my responsibility. It's somebody else. You know what? Unless the Lord build a house, the builders labor in vain. So we better trust the Lord and be directed and guided by Him when we walk. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stands guard in vain. Because when the Lord watches over you, as you walk, you will see miracles. Impossible things happen. Countries opens up. Cities won't reject you. Things will happen. Because the Lord wants to share His love with everybody. Asia today has hardly any Christians at all. And we have all the key, everything needed to reach out. Even the countries themselves are preparing themselves to receive missionary in a whole new way, where difficulty getting visas are going down. Now you can apply online, or you can just get into the border and get visa right there and then. They're pushing hard to learn English everywhere. Well, that shouldn't be any problem. In this church, I see there is many people that probably know the languages as well. We can communicate in a way that's understandable, and we can share the gospel. We have the economy needed. The only thing the Lord needs to reach out, it's our heart and our decision to our decisions to say, okay, I'm going to take the changes. Even if I get scared, I'm going to still push on, trusting God, rejecting the past, and just believe that He will lead me. He's the one that builds the house. Lord, I thank You for this day. I thank You that You are building in our lives. Thank You for Your building projects, an everlasting project that's going to change our life little by little as much as we will let You do it. Lord, I pray that You will guide us and watch over our lives as we walk out, sharing whatever we have learned about You, sharing Your love as much as we have understood it. Thank You that You have given us talents. You have given us character in everything we have. I pray that You help us to use it in the right way so we can be a blessing, so we can reflect Your love to people that have never heard it. Thank You, Lord, that You have decided to use us as Your ambassadors here on this earth. In Jesus' name, amen.